Maybe this will be an invitation for you at home, sitting right now and watching this podcast. Thank you for arriving. Your presence is felt here. Without you, even though right now it's only a potential, in your now it's a reality.
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
Today, we welcome you to a space where music becomes more than a melody. It transforms into a tool for awakening. We journey into the universal essence that connects us and explore the opening of the heart and the expansion of consciousness. We are honored to welcome Uri Azur, an amazing brother and friend of mine, a true artist and healer, a visionary singer-songwriter, producer, and teacher, outstanding father and dreamer, whose work is rooted in connection, growth, and creativity. Beyond performance, he fosters transformative vocal experiences that inspire harmony and presence. Uriah dedicated himself to empower others to reconnect with their authentic voices and unlock the magic within. His worldwide ceremonies, retreats, and teachings touch on the universal essence that binds us all, the opening of the heart, and the beautiful reminder that we are one global community. And now, let's journey together into the rhythm of collective awakening. Welcome, my friend, my brother Uriah. It's amazing having you here today.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, Bear.
It's we know each other, I think, since 2018, and our paths have crossed many, many times by coincidence. And I like to use the word coincidence as more like co-insight. So we have aligned insights to make these meetings happening, even if in the 3D we didn't agree on that. And so we are here in Amsterdam for this conversation. And only last week I saw that you are performing here in Amsterdam. And then I thought, well, I need to reach out to him and see if he can make it to have a little chat with me and we can have a leisurely conversation together here on the Voices of the One Mind. And I'm very, very grateful that you are representing another Voice of the One Mind here today. And we have a nice conversation about the main topic that you are bringing to the world, which is music. And this said, in the morning when I picked you up, you asked me, should I bring my guitar? And I said, of course, bring your guitar. So I wonder if you would like to set the tone for our conversation, to lead us into that with any kind of sharing that you would like to do with your guitar, with your voice.
Yeah, that would actually it'll be amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. You said that that I bring the teachings of music. I use music in order to bring the teachings of self-awareness, the teachings of diving deeper into freedom and into our ability to heal ourselves, the medicine that is available to ourselves. And then music and voice are just instruments for that.
A key to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe this will be an invitation for you at home, sitting right now and watching this podcast. Thank you for arriving. Your presence is felt here. Without you, even though right now it's only a potential, in your now it's a reality. And I believe that this has an influence, that it touches this space and changes that. So I'm encouraging you right now at home to set an intention. Why did you arrive here? What is it that you feel like receiving from this moment, from this video? And take this moment to just set your intention. You can write it down on a piece of paper or just find a sentence. It can be, I just want to pass the time. That's also legit. It can be, I want to understand more about my voice and myself. I want to expand my perception of reality. What is yours? And now let's sample for a moment how you arrived here. Observe yourself. We do the same. What is alive in me right now? Be radically honest with yourself right now. Nobody else is inside your head. Just to deepen your exploration of this, of you right now, use your voice. And the way we do this is just by intuitively singing and listening to the texture of voice. Try when you sing to use your voice all the way till the edge of your breath, looking for places where your voice holds maybe a different texture than usual to observe what you feel, and then inviting more of that in. Music holds us, stabilizes our ability to explore and observe ourselves, and then our voice is the medium. So you can follow my voice or you can just improvise in your own way. Find a singing voice, an idea, but just the way that you speak has music in it. Try to cultivate that for your song right now. Sensations and thoughts, and try and clear space to observe that. Let yourself be what you are right now. Our observation of what is helps the energy move and evolve, releases stuck tension. And then again, the voice is just there to help that move, to help that be held in harmony as it changes, as it flows. Let's take one last round. Just take this extra moment to invite whatever it is that you meet inside, rise to the surface. Remember your intention and try and link between what you feel right now and your intention. Maybe there is something in the substance of what you're sensing that has relevance to what you're looking for. Thank you, Bear, for this invitation.
Amazing.
No, it was a surprise for me. I wasn't planning on it, and suddenly
exactly
reaching into this space.
Yes, exactly. And that sets the beautiful tone for our conversation. I've been following your work in the last years, and what I saw was an increasing audience wherever you travel in the world. You have a few hundred people around you when you do your singing circles. And that only shows that it's so needed at the moment in that times of turmoil and shift, because that's what the world is obviously going through at the moment, right? And what is your perspective on how is music, how is the sound assisting people to go through these shifts, to help them in these shifts to be like an anchor where they can kind of, I want to see it even trust on, rely on whenever I come back to that space of sound, you know? Something is opening in my heart, it feels good. How do you see that?
Well, the way that I present sound is in the collective form, singing together, And to sing, for me to sing, to bring my voice, has to do with me being, I have to be vulnerable in order to share my songs, because I cannot hide. I'm being very deeply seen or heard, and to be vulnerable with others takes trust, and I think trust is a is is a strong medicine for nowadays, to sit with a group of people that I don't know. The only thing that binds us is that we all came to this event, you know. So there is maybe a general intention, but I don't know who these people are. And then to allow myself to open up and to sing and to bring my voice, and even to be in service while doing this, to help my brothers and sisters also bring their voice, is something that is deeply healing, because it means that I'm placing on the table, or on the altar, if we're sitting in a song circle, I'm placing on the altar more of what I am. Also my shine and also my shadow. And this vulnerability is
very beautiful, because this is a beautiful life example of what surrender means. In my teachings, I talk a lot about surrender. Don't take life so serious. Don't try to control life. If you don't surrender, you will not find happiness and the beauty in life. You need to surrender. That's the only way, because the ego eye consciousness cannot control the life. It's impossible. Otherwise, you don't live. You are just doing things, right? And by you saying that you are able to surrender to the audience, because that's what you need to do when you are vulnerable, right?
Every
you need time, to fully surrender to the
you,
audience.
Every time anew, I have to trust. I have to trust my people. That when I place my sensitive and gentle and tender heart in between us, it will be embraced. Mm-hmm. It will be taken care of, you know. And it takes a certain way of presenting the space. I think that's the main thing. It's to present it in the right way, to understand that we're not here to show our voices. We're not here to improve our singing. We're not here. We're here to take better care of ourselves, to be deeper in our presence, in our consciousness, and to hold space for others, to be in a certain form of service together.
Absolutely, to hold space for others, and thus, as you just said, you need to trust the universe, that the universe aligns everything and just sends you always the right people, that you are able to really fully give yourself to what there is, right?
Yeah, it's all rooted in faith, eventually.
Exactly.
I have to believe really that I'm guided and protected, that the flow of things is loving and beneficial, even when it's painful, even when it's traumatic. So the flow of things is loving and beneficial, and it's all aimed for my and our growth. And that I cannot grow on behalf of somebody else's pain or suffering.
Do you experience in your circles that people really come out of them like they fully give themselves, in a sense of they also cry, or they also, you know, have emotional...
We see a lot of tears.
Yeah.
We see a lot of tears. We see a lot of bright, shiny eyes. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of... you see the body language when we arrive. Also myself, when I arrive, I'm a bit kind of contracted. I'm not really... And then as we go, we all kind of let go into this space of it's okay to be myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of other people. They're all their selves. Everybody's singing. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's a singer. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sitting on a stage, on a pedestal. I'm just sitting on the floor between everybody else. So it's a very common situation, you know?
Absolutely. And this... in my teachings, I talk about how do I shift from a me and I consciousness, also known as ego, into that collective or ethnocentric consciousness. And that's the field, what I see that you are able to bring to people. And as you just said, even yourself, all of us, before we start a talk, before we start a teaching, before we start a singing circle, whether it's you, me, the audience, we all come with a certain nervousity, right? we come with a certain, and where does that come from? That's the little remainings of the ego. Am I good enough? Can I do it? You know, these kind of things. But the moment we let go, and the more we let go, the more we let go, it melts all together in what I said in the intro, into this family of one, right?
I think the ego is a constant. It's not really something, I don't believe I can shake it off and be completely immersed in the one. I think that to be immersed in the one is something that is not in this form, not in this playground of human experience. We can tap into this field of one, yeah? And it comes through respecting the ego, really respecting the fact that I have it. My ego is sacred, my ego is important. It's crucial for me and you to have this conversation, to have an ego, or else we'll be one divine soup, you know, but we're not. I'm a person, and I start here and I end there, and you start there and end here, and then we can have this conversation observing unity. And I think that that just by that, just by not fighting the ego, we all feel more welcome just to show up. Not like, oh wait, there are the ones here that are without ego, and there are the ones that are with. No, we're all with ego.
Yeah, it's a good point to see it. I like to call it more like that ego that always stays with you is really that diversity, that the one mind, the great spirit, has as a base notion of the physical expression, because all of that exists, every plant, we, every animal, everything that exists, every stone, just as an expression of the diversity of that one that cannot be named.
This is your shade of the divine.
Exactly, it's your shade of the divine.
It's all shades of the divine, everything, the ones I love, the ones I hate, the ones I appreciate, the ones I resent. Everybody is eventually God manifested in another, or the divine field manifested in another form. And then to respect and to see how I think the divine went all the way from being this etheric thing to then solidified and solidified and solidified into this realm where we can see different shades of it. I think this is, it's such a sacred element.
It's the most beautiful thing. And I always say, if somebody explains you the divine or spirituality complicated, I always say, take your runners and run, because it is so simple. We don't need to make it, as you say, to take it from somewhere where it's like a big thing and I, a little person, cannot understand that. It's too complicated. Only some priests or teachers can understand it. No, it's literally that integration that is the utmost expression of the divine in a human earth walk that you have in daily life. And here I want to come back to music. It seems to me that music is becoming more and more and more important as a tool that assists the individual human. We are talking about the humanity as an awakening and a global awakening. At the end of the day, it's the individual human that is awakening. I have a different perspective on the idea of global awakening, in the sense of, yes, there are phases where more people collectively have awakening phases, awakening symptoms, and that eventually will lead. But awakening is, for me, awakening is not like when I sleep and in the morning I wake up and then I'm awake and then that's it. Awakening is like a learning. It's you awaken every day anew. You awaken every second anew to new things, to new. So it's not this one big impact that happens from one moment to the other.
It's a flow. Exactly. And music is flow. Music is a flow art, and it moves and it keeps on constantly changing and growing, and it's holding us together in this flow art of awakening. Because in music, you can have many different notes that together create a certain harmony. And when we have so many notes, when we're sitting together, 400 or 500 people and sing, okay, also 50, also 10, all the voices find a certain area of harmony. And this area, and we can all recognize that. And then we all give energy to that. We all appreciate beauty and harmony and good flow. Yeah. So we're all supporting that together, and we strive together to even glorify more the harmony in between us. And then music is just the vessel through which we approach and tap into the work of harmony, the work towards harmony and becoming in this flow art.
And I also feel that music, the way how you celebrate it in your ceremonies with the people, enables them to literally, what we just said, let go, to surrender, and then to open the heart in that sacred space, in that protected space that the music itself, the sound waves itself create. I want to see the sound waves like literally like a protective shield, like an aura field around the circle that you create, like a bulb, like a ball. And what happens within is so sacredly protected that people are able to really open their core essence. And that's the vulnerability that you were saying. And also pain will come out, and from there the growth is happening. Always when we are in a vulnerable state and when we do some transformation, the pain is coming out in many people.
Yeah, when we want to explore unity, we have to appreciate and contain separation. When I want to explore pleasure, I am asked to embrace pain. When I want to explore sorrow and happiness, I want to embrace sorrow. It's all together in this dual reality, and within this field, when we are acknowledging those elements as natural and welcomed here, then we can also tap deeper into unity and joy and pleasure together.
I think music is also sound. I don't want to say in general music, because there is also music that I think is not very unifying. But the sound, humanity is coming also in a broader level now to the understanding of what sound waves, of what frequency waves really are, and what they can do. They can be beneficial to life, they can be detrimental to life forms. I don't use terms like good or bad. I just always look at what is life affirming and what is life denying, what is making a plant grow and what is making a plant die. And from that perspective, people really get to know slowly more and more about the different hertz frequencies, what they do on the body, on the physical level, right? Nikola Tesla said that sound is the ultimate source of free energy. And so that's why I think that when people are in certain sound waves, in certain hertz frequencies, that they feel so good. That they all of a sudden feel that they are themselves. Because coming back to the statement at the beginning was the sound, it is literally when at the beginning was the sound, and ever I lose my connection to that beginning, what would take me back the fastest way? It would be the sound. And as you know, I've been staying many years with the Native Americans and the Native American Indians, and they, for example, they use the drum. For them, everything is the drum that represents the heartbeat of Mother Earth. So I think that's 432 hertz, right?
So I've heard. I don't really understand about, I don't go deep into the science of music. I really appreciate it, and it's just not, it's not my passion so much.
Yeah.
My passion is more of the emotional expression, the music, and the mental and emotional frequencies that are expressed and that are able to be expressed when we liberate our voice. And those emotional frequencies are always there. Also, when I'm speaking, there's music under my voice. It's always, there's always the music that transfers more information and more of who I am. And to be able to liberate more of who I am and to let this linger for a while, it just releases so much stuck energy that we have inside. And I think this heals us because we're putting in so much energy and keeping holding things under, because this is not okay to be sad, angry, frustrated, depressed, anything in our society. And while singing, I can express that beyond words. I just stay with the frequency, and my body is, I'm going through things as the songs grow and as the circle goes, and I'm things happen to me emotionally. And just like we did in the beginning of the session, I just sing and I listen how my voice transmits what I am and who I am. And then it just releases it and I become free, I become lighter.
How do you explain, when you do these circles, you have hundreds of people together in one room, and then together, slowly, they create that kind of ambience, that kind of pitch of energy where all of a sudden everything is just happiness, right? Even if the way there for some people might be a little bit painful and might be, as you said, we see a lot of tears, but tears are not always only tears of pain, but also tears of sorrow, can be also tears of joy, of course. So how do you see that that when people come together in a collective and are singing together, are making music together, are making sound together, how important is the collective versus the person itself making music by itself at home for it?
Well, within the collective field, how can I say it? First, I'll say that it's not about feeling all joyful and ecstatic. It's more about feeling grateful. Gratitude is unconditional to sorrow or joy. It's something I can always be grateful for, the opportunity to be what I am and the way that I am. And also when it looks like there's a circle of people and it looks like everybody's having the best time, there's always all emotions and states of presence and being in the circle. And while singing together, I am a cell in this collective. I hold a certain frequency, and right now what rises to the surface is what I have to give, is my gift to this collective. And for some of us, it will be pain. For some of us, it'll be enthusiasm. For some of us, it'll be disbalance. I don't know. Anything that you are bringing, you are bringing as a part of this collective. You're also a full entity of your own. We're not losing the ego. We just open to another dimension, which is the collective self. And the collective self is built of many cells. And within this collective, my little piece, my fractal, is held in a more stable and sustainable way. So it's easier for me to hold myself. It's easier for me to be, to relax into who I am, yeah, than when I'm just on my own.
What comes to my mind is to come back again to the First Nation people around the world when they sound. I cannot call it music, because I think music, the idea of music is more like I don't know, the idea of music is like when language became written, there also started the idea of music. Before, it was really like mimicking the sound of the universe, mimicking especially the sounds of nature. And we have started at a certain point to give music, to sing words with music. So, and I think it's a feeling in me that I have, that at this certain point that we have given, let's name it in the modern terms, text to music, there was some kind of a distortion for the audience, because now the audience gets to perceive music more mentally. Yes, there is always the layer of melody, but it becomes also more mental. And if I listen to the music of the First Nation people around the world, I've been a long time in Mongolia, whether it's in North America, this music is hey, 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 oh, hey, 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 oh, hey, hey, oh, hey, hey, oh, hey, hey, hey. And
you, raw voice.
It's the raw voice, and you can immediately feel how, now I was doing this, how in my chest there is some liberation. It's amazing. It's amazing. And yeah,
I work a lot with this. I start into a song. If the song has, I love singing songs without any words mm-hmm. in them. Mm-hmm. Also, when I come into a song with words in it, I will try at some point to lose the words and to go into a oh, and we repeat this mantra, oh, and then it becomes so much wider and so much more allowing than when I have, if I will sing, I am singing here, exactly. Then it brings me a tuk tuk tuk, it puts me in a box.
Exactly.
And this box is something that we can use. Our mental is an instrument, it's a tool. Once it got us there, it's time to let it go. So if I'm singing a song, I'll sing, ancestor star people gathered here today, mm-hmm. hear my heart song, feel my respect, mm-hmm. see these grateful tears falling, I'm truly blessed. These are the words of the song, mm-hmm. and then we'll go to whoa, and we keep this concept mm-hmm. because the words united our intention. And when our intention is united, we can tap deeper and stronger into it. Yeah, when we meditate together, it's easier to meditate. When we practice yoga together, it's easier to practice yoga. When we put an intention together, our intention reaches deeper. When we pray together, our prayers reach higher, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then the words are there to invite people to this certain area mm-hmm. of reference. And then we let go of the words and go completely mm-hmm. just raw, mm-hmm. ancient human voices.
And with that, you are the words that you sang or spoke before, you lift them up, you empower them, you make them even stronger.
I make us.
Yes.
It's not them. I make us. I invite us, because I also need this remembering.
Yeah.
Even though I'm the facilitator and I brought this song, it doesn't necessarily mean that a moment ago I was aware of the fact that everybody are the ancestors mm-hmm. from the stars that are sitting here with me in the circle, and I'm in awe towards that. But once I present that, I remember. So I remind us mm-hmm. about this mm-hmm. this frequency.
Yeah, and hence coming back to Nikola Tesla's statement that the sound is the ultimate source of free energy. When we come to that understanding, that obviously we understand why people feel so empowered, and then because people, what they are doing in these circles and in concerts, when they like a star in generally, right? They are harnessing this energy in that moment. They are harnessing this energy of sound, and that uplifts them. And this uplifting is really coming from, yeah, this really free energy, like the free energy that is there. And definitely this sounding is this playing with the voice and the sounding is definitely something that creates a very big sponge to absorb that free energy. Now, the world is in a shift at the moment. Where do you see that humanity is standing at the moment? Where do you see that humanity will be going? Do you see something? Do you only literally want to live the present moment, or do you say, well, I see humanity going there at the moment, or what is your
Well, first I will say that I have no idea, only thoughts and playing with theories, you know, of my own. I think this is just an amazing, amazing, special moment in our evolution. There are moments where everything is very stable and ongoing, and there are gifts in that. And there are moments where everything is shifting, and in these moments of shift, we get to tap in to very unique states of presence as a human that I would not have 200 years ago. I would not have anything, even 100 years ago, I would not have anything related to what I'm experiencing right now as a human in the era of digital revolution and global shifts and everything that is happening right now. It's terrifying and it's incredible, and it's an opportunity, I think, for us to awaken into areas that we never had the chance to. And it will balance itself out with time. It will reach a new balance, and there will be the next step in evolution that we are, whatever it is. I think that's less relevant. What's relevant is what is available to us right now. And this is why I love flow art so much. This is why I love dancing, singing, something that is constantly moving, and then it has peaks and it has valleys, and yet at every moment there is an ongoing observation, creative playfulness with the matter that is presented to us.
The many First Nation people work with the medicine wheel. I don't know if you're familiar with the medicine wheel. The medicine wheel is like, generally you build yourself a medicine wheel for yourself that is with the different wind directions there is with your totemic animals, on which wind directions they are sitting, to which wind directions you reach out when you need assistance from one of these entities. Every wheel obviously has a center, and the point of a medicine wheel is to see, always to be most equilibrated in the center of the medicine wheel. And the teaching of an old medicine man in North America told me once, you see, humanity has these tendencies. If you see a medicine wheel, first they march fully north. And you see, no, it's like metaphorically, it's too cold here. Then the next thing is they march fully south. No, it's too hot here, you know. Then to the east, there's too much wind, you know. West, there is too much water. So it's a constant flow. And the task of a life is, let's say, if there is any task, is to stay, to come always more and more closer to the center point of that medicine wheel, which obviously represents the connection to source. And humanity, literally as a race, is, as you say, it's scaring in one thing to have this, because, you know, first we invented technology that unfortunately bears a complete wrong name. People call it artificial intelligence. There is no such thing as artificial intelligence.
How would you call it?
In the cosmic. Technically it's an algorithm learning. There is no such thing as something artificial that adds an intelligence to it. It's the accumulation. You know what you could say? It's something that is able to read the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records are not something artificial. The Akashic Records is if you want to see it in that way, a big library, a big book, where every movement and every word and every talk and everything that ever happened in existence of manifestation is recorded. That's all. There is nothing artificial to that. This whole idea of artificial is literally only like a language. For example, in native languages, in these still sacred languages, you are coming... Your own mother tongue, Hebrew, is one of the sacred languages of the planet still, and so is the very small languages of many native tribes. It's very sacred. They don't have words for artificial. They don't have even words for war, for example, or things like this. So.
Yeah. Well, the word for artificial in Hebrew will be something that is the result of work, that is the result of a trade, of something that somebody knows how to do. Like a carpenter has a trade, so the result of his trade is will be artificial.
Will be a table, because a table is artificial, because a table doesn't grow from nature, right? Yeah. That it might be the original understanding.
And then I don't know, because we are nature, mm-hmm. and then the table kind of grew from us.
Absolutely.
So it does grow from nature eventually. Yeah. And also artificial intelligence is just another shade of the divine,
absolutely. And that is exactly the point that I want to make, because there is something hanging on people that, oh, there is something like an artificial entity that is now dictating life to us through these technical means. And this is something that I want to break up and come back to my medicine wheel. Now humanity has access to that. And the first thing is they run all the way to north until they realize it's too cold there. Right? I'm staying metaphorically, right? First, this new tool is in the hands of people who yet don't have their heart, let's put it that way, completely open.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I don't have my heart completely open.
I mean, you know, it's who has the heart completely? I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
But I think you catch the point, right? I want to say it is used for warfare, for example, and for these kind of things, for not life-affirming operations. Humanity will very soon realize this is not the way. And I have had a beautiful conversation with another friend of mine. He's a Zen monk. Practicing Zen monk since the age of 4 or 5, he was growing up in a Zen monastery, and we were talking a little bit about this artificial intelligence, and he said, we have these super consciousness souls now coming in, these young children, and you really see them around the world, 10, 11, 12 year old. They talk like spiritual masters that needed to become 600 years old in the Himalayas in order to obtain such a wisdom. And I know a few of them. And he said, you will see that these beings, these human beings, they will take that, what people now call artificial intelligence. And it's made for them because only they understand it. Now we are in the growing phase of it. We make a lot of mistakes. We don't make any mistakes. So that should be clear. There is no such a thing as mistake. However, we are doing a lot of actions that is not for the oneness of all. It's still quite egocentric driven. But this next generation that is coming in now, they will take that tool and they will make that tool to that, what my Native American friend always says, humanity, they are really silly. Why don't they invent robots and stuff like this that they cook for them and that they clean dishes for them, so that finally the humans can sit under an apple tree and meditate, you know? And I always like this exaggerated metaphoric that let's use all the beauty of that to liberate more the human spirit, to live more the human spirit and not be running from Monday to Friday, 8 hours a day and doing something that most of the people don't like, right?
Inshallah, I hope that this prophecy fulfills itself. And in the same time, what can we do but to be open to all possibilities and try and bring here to the now, you know, mm-hmm. and to say this is it. This is it. This is like right now where artificial intelligence is, and some people are creating beautiful art.
Amazing.
With that. And some people are manipulating mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. others with that, you know, like writing. I'm seeing like phishing emails mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that are arriving. So they used to be very clear, and now they're using my name, and I see that somebody that the phishing email studied my Facebook profile, and then we have this amazing power, and we can use it for beautiful creations and art, and we can use it for dark mm-hmm. abusive exactly. things. And within that field, this is our shift right now. Yes, you know, absolutely. This is it. And what the future holds, we will leave it the future. How can we tend to our communities now?
Yes, exactly. And that's what you are, one of the most grandiose examples that I know. We have a common friend, Esther Stonne. He is really rocking at the moment, right? We've been talking earlier about his success, and that's what I said before. I call you guys always a sound shaman, because I come from a deep understanding of what shaman and shamanism really is and its core. I'm not talking about what is out there in some distorted New Age views about shamanism. Really the core, the people who understood to open the veil between that other world and this world and make it accessible for people. And what I see in people like you, like Esther Stonne and many others that there are around, that they are creating these circles around them now, holding the space like a tribal chief. You see, like a tribal chief was not a person that said we do this or we do that, right? Never. They were just
there to hold space for what is.
Exactly. They were a pillar. Yeah, yeah. They were a pillar of holding space for what is.
I see Esther's doing this so beautifully, you know. Mm-hmm. He's creating, bringing his music, and he's waiting before he opens up in a concert that can be 3 hours long. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He can be 2 hours on the deep, going into the darkness, letting people explore and experience their, you know, and to take time in that.
Also that, when is he starting now? I mean, I paid for my ticket and I came here.
Agitation rises, this is amazing. Oh, finally you have a place where you can contain agitation for a while. And it will open up. We'll give room for everything, and then every musician, every space holder has their own style of doing this. Some of us are more severe,
more radical,
or severe in our art. Some of us are very have with a lot of grace. Mm-hmm. Everything should be very delicate and gentle, and anywhere in between. And I think every space holder, every one of you watching this right now that have a gift to give to the world, you have certain people that you can tap into and approach, and nobody else can. And this is why it's so beautiful to see this variety, this variety of approaches to the human evolution, to the growing of the self, to the awakening of consciousness. There's so many of us seeing this from so many angles, and we each have a gift to give to a different gift to give to different people.
Exactly. There is not one sentient creation, not one sentient being on this planet that if this being would miss, creation would not be perfect. So we all have something to give, and even if I'm the most doubtful and the most depressive person, and I think I don't have to share anything with the world, and nobody likes me, and I'm here, and I don't have a job, and I do. No, just know that you are a divine creation, a divine gift. So you have everything, and giving a gift to someone doesn't necessarily mean you need to do something. A gift is also to be able just to sit somewhere and have somebody who passes by a good feeling. He gets a good feeling just because you passed you on the street. That's a gift. Yeah. A gift is not only that I'm a good singer or that I'm a good artist or that whatever. This I would actually call more the surfacial gifts. It's more the gifts of, if people say, wow, I'm such a good singer. This goes more into the me and I consciousness, but the true gift that every human, every sentient being on this planet, every animal, any plant has. A plant is not jumping onto a stage and say, hey, wow, look, I'm a rock star. A plant is just a tree. It's just standing its entire life in the forest, straight up, not moving anywhere.
Moving slowly.
moving upwards. No, and that's not true, because in Florida you have moving trees. Have you seen them? They are amazing.
Over decades, the trees are creating new branches and then they are moving. And the tree, like 100 years ago, started 100 meters down the road and now is here. It's beautiful. No, but substantially what I'm saying, just by being without expressing oneself is also a great gift.
Yeah. And also your pain, to go radical, is also a gift. Because when I'm experiencing pain, I'm holding that, and then somebody called me into their life to maybe they need a ripple of that, you know, a little tap of that, or a little tap of anything. Also, when I meet somebody that is agitated right now, that is angry at me, like in a traffic jam, and he's blowing his horn and it's like, and this is a message for me. This is an opportunity for me to meet myself. And maybe at the moment I won't take this as a gift. It doesn't mean that it's not a gift. And realizing that, I'm encouraged to step out into the world and to hold whatever it is that is alive inside with a certain degree of pride, saying this is the gift that right now flows through me. And knowing that when I actually go to hold space, when I will invite people to share what it is, then their presence will even stabilize me further and will bring more of my gift, will refine it and bring it in a better way. This is why I really encourage people to just go out there and do this thing. And when I'm saying vocal freedom, it's not to bring your voice into a place where you will be allowed to be free. It's be free with who you are right now to allow the world more of what you are at this moment, because this will never come back. What you are right now is a once in a universe thing.
The voice, I think, is one fundamental. Many people have issues, for example, with the thyroid or issues with the throat down here. And that's always when they are not able to communicate. If people have issues with the skin, for example, that's all outer things. That means this represents the outer world. The skin touches the outer world. The what comes out here is for the outer world. And I think many people have a big... this is what I would like to ask you. Do you have an idea where this trauma comes from, that I don't dare to speak out, that I don't dare to, that I hold back? And not speaking is a fantastic thing. I don't mean this not speaking. I don't mean this staying in silence and don't give my comment. I mean this thing when I really would like to say something, but then I don't dare to share myself. I don't dare to say anything to my parents, you know. Starts already in the childhood. Yeah. And the vocal freedom is exactly addressing that, right? And it's daring to communicate with that word, with whatever I am.
It's harnessing the tension in between the thing that I want to naturally share with the world, myself, that I want to naturally share with the world, with all the blockages, yes, that are kind of pushing it down. And in between those two inner movements, these two colliding inner movements, to find a crack to let the voice come through. And then it comes through so beautifully. It shivers, it cracks, and it shows the complexity of what it means to be human. And this is deep form. This is a very deep form of communication, of sharing our different angles of living through the human experience, and then teaching each other. This is my style of working through the tension, this inner tension between my will to share myself and my barriers and blockages. Yeah, we all have that. We all have trauma. Mm-hmm. We all have pain. We all have limiting ideas and beliefs. It's there. We're not going to fight that. The question is, will we stay with them for long enough so that we can open up just enough to let some of our pure intention go through into the mutual space? And this is always, it always breaks my heart wide open and inspires me and brings so much authenticity and intimacy into the collective space when one of us dares to really bring, to go through these areas, mm-hmm. not to try and conquer them in order to just shine. Mm-hmm. You know, the just shine, mm-hmm. it's all appreciated and everything.
It's a finite thing. You shine for a moment. No, the thing is, it's you shine for the moment, yeah. and then the roller coaster will let you down.
Question
again.
Is, can you shine the complexity of what you are right now? Can you bring this into the spotlight, and then this becomes the shine and not an idea mm-hmm. of what our voice should be?
Mm-hmm. Very beautiful words. I don't want to really add anything to this other than to ask you if you would give us another piece of you as a sort of an outro to our conversation, to share with your guitar, with or without your voice, whatever you feel to, for our audience to embrace this piece of this space that Uriah is creating here.
Yeah, I would love to. I think it already came to me when we were speaking earlier and talking about this song, that I'm just right now, I'm researching who wrote it. I heard it years ago. So we said the words earlier, ancestor, star people gathered here today, hear my heart song, feel my respect. See these grateful tears falling. I am truly blessed. And I'm inviting all of us and you at home to weave into that concept. To see the people that are gathered around this conversation across time and space as ancestors gathered to share appreciation. Share gratitude and to see yourself as the ancestor that you are to the generations to come, and then to give a voice to that, to take pride of what life made you, because this is ancestry right now happening. Ancestor, star people gathered here today, hear my heart song, feel my respect, feel my love. See these grateful tears falling. I am truly blessed. I am I am truly blessed. Ancestor, star people gathered here today, hear my heart song, feel my respect, feel my plant a seed of intention together with all the people, whoever did and ever will see this podcast, to open kinder eyes, eyes that are more kind towards the people that we meet, remembering that they are ancestors as well, to respect the wisdom that we see around us, even if we don't resonate with it. And then maybe we can see the seed growing in our lives, on the paths of our life. Ancestor star people gathered here today, hear my heart song, feel my respect, feel my love, see these grateful tears falling. I am truly blessed, I am truly blessed, I am truly blessed, we are truly
We are truly blessed.
We are truly blessed.
We are truly blessed. I am truly blessed. The bear is truly blessed. Mm-hmm. Everyone who sees that podcast is truly blessed. That beautiful, amazing, grand Uri Azur was here with us today to share as a voice of the one mind the beauty of his life. I want to really encourage you, brother, to keep on your path, keep on going on your path. You're doing an amazing work for the people. And I can only invite all the audience, whenever you get a chance, to partake in one of Uri's singing circles, retreats, in whatever ceremonies he offers around the world, that you go there and you sit there and you feel that beautiful energy that I was able to feel today with him.
Thank you so much, Per.
Great blessing.
So it's so beautiful to sit down with you and just dig into life and to figure out more of what this universe has to offer. This brings so much color and happiness into my heart. And I really, really appreciate you on my path. Thank you, Great Spirit, for bringing us together.
Yeah, and the Great Spirit has brought us together in the really most funny way.
Yeah.
We met 2018 in Jerusalem. And at that time, we didn't exchange our contacts, nothing. And a few years later, I am invited in the deepest jungle of Yucatan on a friend's place, on a cenote, and there was a guy who plays guitar, they said, and there were 5-6 people sitting on a little pontoon. And the guy who played with an ukulele was Uria. And soon later, we met again together with Estastone on a concert in Mexico again. And then a few years later, a friend of mine, she's from Israel, said to me, that place in Portugal, said to me, you know, I have this amazing, there's this amazing guy, he's from Israel, and I went back to be on one of his retreats, and now I'm back here in Portugal again, and he's coming to Portugal, I'm so excited, and you know, you should really go there, he's an amazing guy. And then I said, okay, who is that amazing guy then? And then she said, it's Uri Azur. And I said, you won't believe it, but he's a friend of mine. And then we made a surprise to him. We didn't tell him that we want to come. And it was a beautiful singing circle in a garden in the middle of Alentejo in Portugal. Only like, I don't know, 40, 50 people, very intimate, very beautiful. And so our path is crossed around the world. And now we are in Amsterdam. So
I'm so happy that we get to. I'm very curious to see where is the next time we meet.
We always meet. Me too.
We always meet in strong moments of my life, at least.
Absolutely. And it would not make sense to say, hey, I'm going there. Are you there as well? Because that's not the way how the two of us meet, right? That's not the way.
No. That's not how we roll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much for jumping in. It was very last moment, very short notice, and you made it possible, and it was a great conversation.
For me too. Great pleasure, brother.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.